I remind you that we are talking about the foundations of the restoration by examining what was restored in what order. The first thing restored was the knowledge of God. That is our greatest gift. That is the heart and soul of the restoration, is our knowledge of who Heavenly Father is. And then came the Book of Mormon. That is our foundational truth. Notice that not all of our truths are in the Book of Mormon. Book of Mormon doesn't talk about 3 degrees of glory or eternal marriage, because the Book of Mormon is the foundation of the truths that bring us to Christ. Then we get to the church and the covenants. But we do have a Book of Mormon. After the Book of Mormon came the priesthood. We have to have authorization from heaven to act in His name. Now we have priesthood. And with knowledge of God, truth, and priesthood keys, we now can organize the church. And I wanted to pause last time and talk about, we need to understand the difference between the gold and the clay. Anytime, everywhere we go from here on out, church history, gold and clay. Everything we do is gold and clay. But now we can't just keep this linear pattern, because several things begin to happen all at once in the restoration. And we're now going to have a split. Not that the church splits, but the focus of the church goes in several different directions. When you turn 18 and 19, guess what? You don't do a whole lot of family history work. Because where are you focused? Non-members. I am not doing a whole lot of missionary work, because where am I focused? Members. So now let's kind of look at how the church splits up. And I'm going to use a historical event to show the next several directions. So pause in this. I will get to it, I promise. But let me introduce it. Let's talk about, how do you inherit? How do you pass on an inheritance to your children? Let me use my family as an example. My dad is Jetty. My mom is Tracy. Now, my dad has passed on, and my parents have 5 living children. One died when he was 12. This is my older sister, Kim. This is me. My name's Bryce. Here's Melissa, David, and Amber. Those are the Jed and Tracy Dunford children. Now, let's suppose my dad's estate, now just you'll see why I use this number in a minute, but let's suppose my dad's estate is worth $300,000 and he wants to pass that on to his children. He wants to bless his children's life and pass on an inheritance to their children. Now, there's several ways, but I want to talk about 2 main ways that we would have an inheritance. Way number one, what's typical today? What do most people do when they set up their wills and decide how to pass on their estate to their children? And even split. So option A would be an even split among their 5 children. So how much would Kim get? 300,000 divided by 5 would be, Kim would get 60, I would get 60, Melissa would get 60, David would get 60, and Amber would get 60. All of us getting $60,000, and we got an even split. Now, what are the advantages of an even split? No one feels slighted. No one gets favored. There's no favoritism. All children are treated equally. But let me point out a very important negative. For all practical purposes, if my parents do this, the Jed and Tracy Dunford family is over. Wouldn't you agree? Because if there's an even split, is there anyone in charge of the Jed and Tracy family? Nope. I take my inheritance, and now I'm in charge of the Bryce and Jennifer family. Is anyone running the Jetty and Tracy family? Now, if anyone needs help, if Amber, who has some serious medical conditions, needs more help than what she got, where does she go? Where does she go? Where does she go for help? She's on her own, right? Now, advantage is even split, no one argues. Disadvantage is the Jed Dunford family is pretty much over. So let me throw another option out there. What if my parents say it is very important to them to maintain the Jed and Tracy Dunford family? That there be an organization with a head that takes care of it. And we're not going to be around to do it, so I need to pass that on. So what if plan B is instead of a five-way split, there's a six-way split? And we're going to give one of them a double portion. So what if my parents choose Kim? Kim, you're going to be our representative, and you are the designated head of the Jed and Tracy family, Dunford family, after we leave. So a six-way split with Kim getting double portion would give her how much? Kim would get $100,000, and I would get 50. And Melissa would get 50, and David would, can't write a five. David would get 50, and Amber would get 50. Now, disadvantage, let's be honest, what's the disadvantage here? Kim got, my parents like Kim the most. And there might be some feelings. But what's the advantage? Someone is still in charge of the Jetty and Tracy Dunford family. So, for example, my dad has passed on. If my mom needs extra help, who takes care of my mom? It's very clear, right? Now, Kim can't complain because why? Kim can't complain at the extra burden given to her because she received an extra blessing. And I, you know what? I love my mom, but I'm not the one that has to pay her medical bills because we have someone in charge. So I do a little less complaining about Kim being in charge when Kim handles the burden. Love my mom, but I'm grateful I don't have to take care of her medical bills. And I'm grateful that there's a Kim. Do you see the difference between A and B? Now, let me ask you a question. Which one has Heavenly Father chosen, A or B? Now, the problem with A is everyone fends for themselves. And that's not a good way to save his children. He needs someone in charge. He needs someone to take charge and say, I will be in charge of his children. Now, Heavenly Father has to give them an extra portion. And some people might consider it favoritism. Some people might look and say, Heavenly Father has blessed them more than the rest of us. But what else came with that blessing? I need you to take care of all the other children of Heavenly Father. I need you to build them temples, even when they can't afford it. I need you to go to them. I need you to preach them the gospel, even when they're halfway around the world. I am going to put a burden on your shoulders, but I'll offset the burden by putting a blessing on your shoulders. And to the rest of us that might cry foul, he says, yes, that person got a blessing, but that person got a blessing. Do you see why A is better for Heavenly Father's system? B is better for Heavenly Father's system because it takes care of the family. The family has a caretaker. Now, Abby?
I'm sorry. Oh,
you had a question, but I need you to not answer the next question. So what's your comment?
Who has been appointed?
Okay. And you know the answer, so don't answer it, okay? Okay. Who is Heavenly Father's Kim? Don't say Jesus, that's different. Salvation is different. Jesus is here to save us. That's a redeemer. Who is Heavenly Father's on earth? I will take care of your children. I will be the steward of your children on earth. Now, give me a blessing and put that burden on me. Who is Heavenly Father's Kim?
Is it us as members?
Not yet. It is today. But who was the main one asked to shoulder the burden of saving Heavenly Father's family? You're thinking way too modern. Adam was a good one to choose, but Adam was not the one. Who was deliberately said, I need you to save my children? Abraham. Abraham is Heavenly Father's Kim. Now, Adam, Noah, I think there's a whole nother story to be told about why it's not Abraham, or why it's not Adam, why it's not Noah. But Heavenly Father deliberately came to Abraham and said, I will give you an extra portion. But with that portion comes the responsibility to save my family. Abraham's family was supposed to save Heavenly Father's children. And that was the burden given to Abraham. Now, let's talk about it. Aaron, go ahead.
Just kind of an interesting realization I had on that. I'd often wondered why the Book of Mormon, and why, because I'm sure there's other societies that God sent prophets to, and that knew of Jesus Christ coming. I was like, why was it specifically a group that came out of Jerusalem that would have a record be prepared and saved for this day? And it was exactly that, the realization that the promise was that salvation would come through the seed of Abraham.
Yep.
And so another book would have to come through his seed.
Yep. Do you see the connection? Now, let me illustrate. Here's a Bible. I've got the Old Testament. Let me show you the Old Testament. So the Old Testament ends with Malachi, right? So here's Malachi chapter 4, end of the Old Testament. Begins in Genesis chapter 1. All right, there's the Old Testament. Everyone see that? 4,000 years of history. If I were to put my finger halfway through the 4,000 years, where would you expect me to put my finger? Halfway through the pages, right? Let me put my finger halfway through the history, halfway through the 4,000-year time period. Ready? Here we go. There's halfway. This 11 chapters is halfway through the time period. Because the Old Testament is not the story of the time period. It's not the story of the 4,000 years. The Old Testament is whose story? Abraham's story. I need to know about creation. I need to know about Adam, and I need to know about Noah. But the Old Testament is Abraham's story in trying to save Heavenly Father's children. So let's pause and let's see if we can understand what was the covenant that God made with Abraham to do so. So turn with me to the book of Abraham. Go to Abraham chapter 1. Now, like any covenant, we're going to make a list of blessings and responsibilities. A covenant is a list of blessings. The $100,000 are the blessings. So let me erase this so I can write down Abrahamic blessings and Abrahamic responsibilities. Okay, so let me erase my family. And knowing that Heavenly Father chose B and that Abraham is his kin, let's see if we can list the blessings and the responsibilities of the covenant given to Abraham. All right, Abraham chapter 1. Let me turn this on so we can follow it together. Okay, ready? All right, Pearl of Great Price, Abraham chapter 1. All right, we're going to identify blessings and responsibilities. We're going to start in verse 16. This is where Abraham was down on the altar. The knife was about to come down. He's about to lose his life. And Jehovah steps in and stops it and says, his voice was unto me, Abraham, Abraham. Whoops, sorry. Went too fast. Abraham, Abraham, behold, my name is Jehovah, and I have heard thee. May I suggest that in order to save Heavenly Father's children, Abraham was given increased access to God. Increased access to God. I have heard thee. That's a blessing. And I have come down to deliver thee. In order to, Abraham was given increased protection and deliverance. Increased access to God and increased deliverance. I am going to take you away. I'm going to take you away from thy father's house and from all thy kinfolks into a strange land. I have a place. So I like to list these because I love language and I love words. I like to list these as P's. I will protect you. Protection. Increased protection given to Abraham. I have a place for you. I have a special place reserved for you. That's part of the $100,000. Protection. A place. Now, let's jump down. Verse 18. I will lead thee by the hand. Guidance. I will take thee, I will put upon thee my name. Even, here's another P. Abraham was given access to all of the priesthood ordinances. I will build temples for you. I will make sure you have access to all of the priesthood ordinances. That's what God granted Abraham. And then, give me another P word. Power. And one we won't mention is posterity. Abraham was given increased access to God, increased protection, a place, priesthood, power, and prosperity. As it was with Noah, so shall it be with thee. What does that mean? As it was with Noah. I saved Noah from destruction, right? Now that's interesting because we live in a day where what's right around the corner? The cleansing of the earth. And he says, as it was with Noah, so shall it be with Abraham. And what's the next word? But. Meaning, what are we about to do? We're about to shift columns. All of these things are yours, Abraham. Increased access to God, protection, power, priesthood, all of these things I bless you with. All I ask is four things. And the first one is what? All I ask, Abraham, is that you do what? Make my name known in all the world. That is Abraham's chief responsibility. Make my name. Notice we're going to use some keywords. Through thy ministry, my name shall be known in all the earth forever. Make my name known. That was chief among Abraham's responsibility. Make my name known. All right, let's jump to chapter 2. You'll see lots of other blessings, but let's jump to chapter 2, starting in verse 6. Arise, Abraham, take Lot with thee, for I have purpose to take thee out of Haran. I have a place for you, and it's not Haran. I'm going to take you to that place. I will protect you. because I intend to make of thee a minister to bear my name. Now, then, that's nothing new, right? Ministry, bear his name, but what does he add? You have to go to all the strange places of the world. You cannot fish for my children. You have to hunt for my children. You do not wait for them to come to you. You go get them. You go to every country, every land, every culture. You go to them. You need to go to all the strange lands. Which I will give to thy seed after thee in everlasting possession. So prosperity, property. All right, verse 8. My name is Jehovah. I know the end from the beginning. Therefore, my hand shall be over thee. There's the protection. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee above measure. There's the $100,000. I will make thy name great among all nations, and thou shalt be a blessing unto thy seed. But here's his third request. What's the third one? Minister, make his name known, go to all the strange places of the earth, and what do you need to take with you? You're not doing me a favor unless you take what? The blessings of the priesthood. Go baptize them. Now let me ask you a sincere question. I know this will tip where we're going and how this message is going to end. But we are building temples in countries that there is no way that country paid for that temple with their tithing. Would you agree? Who paid for that temple? Who paid for the temple in that part of the world? Abraham paid for the temple and sent it to the strange land so that they could have priesthood blessings. You have to bless the world with the covenants of the priesthood. So that, all right, let's get to the whole purpose. Here we go. Make my name known, go to the world, bless them with the priesthood, so that, here we go. This is the whole point of having a kim. So that, go to verse 11. Abraham chapter 2, verse 11. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. That's part of the protection. And in thee, that is in thy priesthood, and in thy seed, that is thy priesthood. For I give unto thee a promise that this right shall continue in thee and in thy seed after thee. That is to say, the literal seed of the body. Shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The whole purpose of Abraham is to save families. Save families with three things. What is Abraham supposed to take to every family on the earth? Number one, the gospel. Number two, salvation. And number three, eternal life. What's the difference between salvation and eternal life? What's the difference? Salvation is an individual affair. Salvation is what glory do you want in the afterlife? What degree of glory do you want? Salvation is an individual affair. As far as you and I go, what salvation are you seeking? Celestial glory. I want celestial glory. That's the salvation I am seeking. But eternal life is a family affair. The only ones who get eternal life are families. So go bless the world with the salvation that they want. What kingdom of glory do you want? I'll get you there. I can help you. But if you want an eternal family life, I'm here to help you get that. The whole point of the Abrahamic covenant is to bless families with the gospel, salvation, and eternal life. Macy's going on a mission. The whole point of missionary work. Is individual converts, is that what we're after? We'll baptize individual people because we hope that they'll, but what's the goal here? Families. The goal is families. That's the Abrahamic covenant. Now, where did Heavenly Father put Abraham? Tell me where every Heavenly Father put Abraham. Mediterranean Sea? Dead Sea? Sea of Galilee? Where did Heavenly Father put Abraham? What world power is down here? This is Egypt, who ruled the world for thousands of years. Followed by the Assyrian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Greeks, the Romans. Where did Heavenly Father put Abraham? Right in the middle. Why? They were to take the gospel to all the world. Who went down here? Who took the gospel down here? Who took the gospel down to Egypt? Joseph. Who went to Babylonia? Daniel. Who went to Greece and Rome? Paul. The Abrahamic covenant was to take the gospel to all the world. Now, Abraham's going to die. So Abraham, before he dies, does what? Passes that responsibility on to another kin. To whom did Abraham pass that responsibility? Isaac. Is that his firstborn son? No. Who was first? Ishmael was first. But Ishmael was not the right one. Ishmael was not the one to accept the responsibility. He may have wanted the blessing, but Ishmael would not fulfill the responsibility like Isaac. So it was given to Isaac. When Isaac passed away, who did he pass it on to? Jacob, whose name became Israel. Israel got the blessing. Was Israel Isaac's oldest son? No, Esau was. But Esau wasn't right. So we gave it to Jacob, who became Israel. To whom did Jacob pass it on to? Joseph. Now, did Jacob give Judah a blessing? Yes. There's no question that there was a blessing given to Judah, and Judah would bring us Jesus. But to whom did Jacob give the birthright responsibility? Joseph. And Joseph gave it to Ephraim. His oldest son? Was Ephraim Joseph's oldest son? He was not. None of the oldest sons got it. Because it's not an automatic birth thing. It's a will you live up to the responsibility thing. And so Ephraim got it. Do you remember where Jacob switched his hands and gave the blessing to Ephraim instead of Manasseh? Okay, ready? To whom did Ephraim give it? To whom did Ephraim give the birthright blessing? No one? As of Ephraim, it stops being an individual and starts being a tribal responsibility. The tribe of Ephraim never gave away the responsibility, even though the tribe of Ephraim was taken captive to the Assyrians. The tribe of Ephraim is the birthright responsible tribe. Okay, all of this, there's an apostasy, and it's all lost. Let's set it up again. We need a modern day Abraham that represents the tribe of Ephraim, from the tribe of Ephraim. Turn with me to Doctrine and Covenants section 10. Now, if you want to know why the purchase of the Kirtland Temple is so significant, first, it's the only place that we can definitively point to and say, right there appeared Jesus Christ. There are not very many people. We have no, I hate to tell you this, but we really don't know where the Sacred Grove is. We like to take people to a nice little grove and say, hey, this is probably it. But no, Joseph never, ever told us where it was. No one knows where the sacred grove is. No one knows where the Father and the Son appeared. But we have one spot where we definitively can point and say, right there appeared Jesus Christ. What's the one spot? In the Kirtland Temple. Section 110. Notice 109 was the dedicatory prayer of the Kirtland Temple. And then we get 110. Now, who appears first in the temple? Starting in verse 2, who appears first? The Lord. Jesus appears in the Kirtland Temple. And what does he basically say? Verse 7. Why does Jesus come to the Kirtland Temple? I have accepted this house. Okay? This is my house. I will dwell here. I will speak to you. Now, as soon as Jesus leaves, three very significant people appear. And now let me show you where we're going. Three people appear that are going to point the church in three directions. Three very significant visitors. Tell me who's first. Moses comes and lays his hands. A resurrected Moses comes to Joseph Smith, lays his hands upon Joseph, and gives him what key? Go get the scattered house of Israel back so that the scattered house of Israel can save Heavenly Father's children. Go get them back. What do we mainly do today with the keys of Moses? What is the main thing we do with the key of Moses that was given to Joseph Smith in the Kirtland Temple? Macy? And everyone else who accepted the call, we are doing what? Missionary work. So one of the major focuses of the church is missionary work. We have to go gather them in. We have to gather Israel wherever they are. And so where do we go on our missions? All the strange lands. Where are you going, Macy? Name the strange land you're going to. Japan. I went to Mexico. Anyone else?
Panama.
Panama. That's a strange land.
I went to Mexico.
Mexico. And as a church, what are we doing? We are taking the gospel to the strange lands, the corners of the earth, so that they have the gospel, so that families have the gospel, eternal life, and or eternal life salvation, or the gospel salvation and eternal life. So now that becomes one major focus of the church is missionary work. We have to gather Israel. All right, skip the next person, skip verse 12 and go to verse 13. Abby?
Children of Ephraim, we just have to be willing to do this, right?
No, we have to do it.
Well,
if we don't do it, he'll find someone else to do it.
Well,
why did he choose Isaac and not Ishmael? Why did he choose Jacob and not Esau? Why did he choose Joseph and not Reuben? Again, we can't think that we're special because we got the inheritance. We're not special. We got the inheritance for what reason? To do the work. If we don't do the work, then we are asking him to do what? Give someone else the inheritance. So, Moses, this church doesn't have a choice but to preach the gospel. Whatever it costs. We must preach the gospel to every corner of this earth. Now, skip verse 12, go to verse 13. Who's the third person who shows up in the Kirtland Temple? Not counting Jesus, the third of the key givers. Elijah. Now, tell me what key Elijah brought. What key did Elijah bring? sealing keys. The ability to seal families. Now, that's something we do to the living. That's something we offer non-members. But what's one area where we're really going to focus the keys of Elijah? If Elijah brought the keys to seal families, we're going to focus on our families, the world's families. But what's a major area of focus when it comes to the keys of Elijah? The dead. The dead. We've got to save the dead. Not only do we have to save everyone on this planet, but who is Ephraim in charge of today? Not just every living soul in every strange land, but who is Ephraim in charge of saving today? All the dead. Do you see that branch of the church going forward? So now that becomes the branch that's going to bring us temple work. Now I skipped verse 12. Let's go back to verse 12. Tell me the significance of verse 12. I think you can appreciate this now, but why is verse 12 significant? Tell me what Elias brought. Do you see it? What did Elias bring? In other words, who is the birthright? Who is now in charge? Who is the modern day Kim? The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Joseph was given the dispensation, the gospel, the covenant, the responsibility of Abraham to bless all the families of all the earth. We were put in charge of saving everyone on this planet and everyone who's been on this planet. That is why there is a church. We have been given the responsibility to save ourselves, every living person who doesn't have the gospel, and every dead person. And those are the three. And we are now going to fork our responsibilities towards saving, sealing ordinances, missionary work, and perfecting ourselves. Do you see what happened in the Kirtland Temple? This church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, primarily made up of what tribe? Raise your hand if you're from Ephraim. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was put in charge of saving Heavenly Father's children. Now, do you see why there's a church? First, we have to build temples so that we can allow sealing ordinances. We have to have missionaries so that we can go gather those who don't have the gospel. And we're going to have wards and stakes and priesthood quorums and release society and institute so that we can perfect ourselves to fulfill the responsibility given to us. We are Abraham. It is a heavy responsibility we carry, but we are in charge of Heavenly Father's children. Now, every prophet, I would suggest, has known about us. According to Nephi, go to 1 Nephi chapter 15. According to Nephi, when did Nephi say that the Abrahamic covenant would be fulfilled? Verse 18. According to Nephi, as he's talking to his brothers Laman and Lemuel, when does Nephi say the covenant of blessing families would be fulfilled? Did Abraham in the Old Testament ever do a really good job at it? Has anyone prior to the apostasy ever done a really good job at fulfilling the Abrahamic covenant? Aaron's up here laughing at the thought of it, right?
Personal experience, actually.
But what does Nephi say here? Wherefore our father hath not spoken of our seed alone, but also of all the house of Israel, pointing to the covenant which should be fulfilled in the latter days, which covenant the Lord made to our father Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Do you sense the responsibility that this church has? Now, forgive me if I'm a little blunt, but do you know why we need $100 billion? Do you see why we might need $100 billion in the bank? Yeah, do we need to take care of the poor? Absolutely. But well beyond our responsibility to take care of the poor, what do we have to do? Preach, perfect, and seal. Who? Who? Every person on this planet and every dead person. Can I throw out a theory? I got 5 minutes. Let me throw out a theory. Jesus, when he died, went to the spirit world and did what? Long story short, I'm going to have to, this is a lot of doctrine really quickly. Jesus went into the spirit world and did what? He bridged the gap between paradise and prison. You couldn't preach the gospel in prison before Jesus went in there. He bridged the gap between paradise and prison. And he set up a mission. And then what's the next thing he did? He empties paradise. Every righteous person was resurrected with Christ. Do you see? Wait a minute. He opened up the gates. He opened up the bridge, appointed them to preach the gospel, and then empties paradise. He resurrects all the righteous. Why? I have a theory. Because the work of saving the dead belonged to which dispensation? Not Peter's. Ours. He set it all up and then emptied paradise for the Latter-day Saints to come in and save. Any idea how many people are in the spirit world? The only figure I've ever found is one apostle one time speculated that there must be at least 60 billion people. 60 billion people waiting in paradise for our missionaries to come to them and for us to do the work to save them. Do you sense the weight that is on the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Preach the gospel to every country, perfect yourselves so that you can really be a good Abraham, and then save 60 billion people that are waiting in the spirit world. That is why there is a Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Oh, and get ready for Jesus to come.
So, fun fact, I remember reading something an anthropologist was talking about, and his estimate was that in the last 6,000 years or so, 120 billion humans have lived.
Yeah.
And that's like a secular number.
It's astronomical numbers.
If you take 120 billion and then you divide it by 1,000 years, I think it came out to like, it was like 300 temples had to be running continuously, nonstop, 24/7 for the entire 1,000 years of the millennium.
And baptizing one a second or something just, like that.
Yeah, to finish all the work.
Yeah.
And that was based on the time and endowment it takes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you sense who we are and what we're supposed to do? And that is why there is a church. So we're going to spend less time here because it's what we're the most familiar with. I don't know that we'll talk about perfecting the saints as much as we're going to talk about proclaiming the gospel to the world and sealing them in the temples. So next week, let's look at our responsibility to preach the gospel. I got to do it before Macy leaves. And then we'll focus on temples. Why? How? What? What is the work of temples? Now, are they interrelated? Yes. In order to build a celestial city, we have to become a celestial people, right? And we can't become a celestial people without temples. They're all interrelated. But it is one church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I bear you my testimony that Heavenly Father has given us a mighty responsibility. Now, have you been richly blessed? Have you been richly blessed? And do you see why? Because we have a humongous responsibility on our shoulders. May we understand and fulfill that responsibility is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.